This is Lori Sonkin with WRFI Community Radio News. October is Silent Film Month in Ithaca. Tonight we're going to talk about a special type of silent films made in Ithaca in the early teens and 1920s. They're called race films. Our guest this evening, joining us by telephone from Rochester, is Barbara Tepa Lupak. Barbara is a film historian and the former dean of Empire State College, SUNY. She's also the author of many books, including Richard E. Norman and Race Filmmaking, published in 2013 by University of Indiana Press. Welcome to the program, Barbara.
Thank you so much, Lori, and I hope you allow me to begin by telling you how delighted I am to have this invitation to speak with you this evening, and how delighted I am to be coming to Ithaca later this week. Not only is Ithaca a great city, but it's a great cinema city, and I applaud the exciting film and film-related work that's happening there, beginning with Diana Reisman, co-founder and executive director of the Wharton Studio Museum, who works tirelessly in establishing and preserving the legacy of filmmakers Ted and Leo Wharton, Rod Howe and Donna Eschenbrenner at the Tompkins History Center, the Croc Rare Book Room at Cornell, all of whom provide an invaluable service to the community. Ithaca Made Movies, the Serial Squadron for promoting silent filmmaking in Ithaca, and, of course, the recent International Film Symposium at Cornell and Julie Simmons Lynch, who helped make it possible.
And as Barbara, you well know, can I interrupt you just because I want to get to the, what is a race film? That's what our listeners want to hear. What is a race film?
Certainly. A race film is essentially a film that was produced primarily by black independent filmmakers, although there were a few white independent filmmakers like Richard Norman who made race films. But they were films that were aimed exclusively at black audiences, they featured black actors, and they centered on black themes and issues. Instead of just perpetuating crude and retrogressive representations, race filmmakers established new character types and situations that reflected social change in a much more realistic fashion.
On Saturday, there's going to be a film at Cinemopolis, which is called The Flying Ace, and this is an event that's sponsored by the Wharton Studio Museums. It's also sponsored by the History Center. But
right.
So Richard Norman made this film in there, like 1910, is that correct?
He made it in 1926.
Okay.
He was a filmmaker who was a white race filmmaker, and interestingly enough, curiously enough, he was a white Southern filmmaker. And he produced all of his films between 1920 and 1928. And he was a prolific filmmaker for a race filmmaker. And he was important because he embraced the new technologies of his day. But above all, he tried to put into his films this notion of race uplift and race ambition, which was consistent with black ideology of the day. And so that made him a very distinguished man, especially among the race filmmakers.
Was he trying to improve race relations, or was he finding a new niche market?
You know, I think it's really both. On the one hand, I think he had a strong belief in civil rights, at least for what was considered civil rights in that era. At the same time, he was a businessman, and he had been in the film business, and he saw an opportunity where films did not exist for black audiences. Black audiences at that time were limited to midnight showings at white theaters. They had to enter and exit buildings through a separate entrance. The films that they watched were largely films that were produced by white filmmakers that didn't present them in a particularly positive light, that presented them in a stereotypic fashion. And so Norman saw an opportunity to make a difference, to present films that would be geared specifically for the black community, made essentially by the black community, with imagery that the black community could understand and appreciate.
So he was trying to counter demeaning stereotypes. Is that a fair?
Oh, for sure.
Yes.
And absolutely.
Did he do well? Did he make a decent living?
No, I don't think any race filmmaker really made a decent living. He probably eked by more so than a lot of the other race filmmakers, many of whom had great ambition but didn't even get to the point where they were able to produce a single film. Since he made 7 feature films, by those standards, he was considered to be a prolific and a successful producer. But by 1928, sound film came in, silent films were out, and it was very difficult for filmmakers to make the, race filmmakers in particular, to make the transition to sound film. So in his later years, in the 1930s, he was forced to roadshow films for Joe Louis, the boxer, because those kinds of films were not shown in white theaters. And in the 1940s, he opened his own race theater. But those were very lean years for him, and I think that was pretty typical of the situation financially for most race filmmakers of his day.
Let's talk about the film that's going to be shown this Saturday at Cinemopolis at 2:00. It's called The Flying Ace. Can you tell us what's so special about this film?
I'd be happy to. The Flying Ace has as its main character a distinguished black aviator called Captain Billy Stokes. We have to remember that in reality, during World War I, blacks were prohibited from serving alongside whites in the Army, given menial roles in the Navy and barred entirely from the Marines. They weren't allowed to be aviators for another two decades. So what Norman was trying to present was an aspirational hero, a hero who showed what blacks could achieve if they were afforded the opportunity.
You know, how many minutes is this film? It's like an hour and a half?
A little bit over an hour. It's about an hour and 20 minutes. It's really a very exciting film. There are some wonderful sequences in there. He's got a lot of flight in there. It's a love story. It's an aviation story. It's a mystery story. It's a thriller. It's everything all wrapped into one.
Wow, it sounds great. Did he have a hard time getting his films distributed?
He had a terribly hard time. Again, like most race filmmakers, they didn't have the opportunities that white filmmakers had. White filmmakers could make a film, go to an exchange, deposit the film, get an advance for their next film, and then begin to make the film that they wanted to make. Race filmmakers, on the other hand, had no such distribution outlets. So when they made a film, they had to take it literally on the road themselves. They roadshowed their films. And they would go from town to town, small town to small town. If they were lucky, they could make a circuit so they could actually travel, let's say, all of northern Florida in one trip or all of South Carolina in one trip or whatever the district it was that they happened to be booking in. But it was a very, very difficult process. And Richard Norman related one anecdote that I thought was quite interesting in his correspondence. He said that he had a number of unfortunate instances. For example, in one city, he tore his only pair of pants, and he had to cancel showings in another town while he had them sewn and repaired. And another time, he blew a tire, and it took 2 days to replace it, so he had to take trains and buses and even hitchhike to get to his next showing. Since he arrived late, he had to refund half of the admission. So that's very typical of the kinds of problems that race filmmakers faced, especially when they were on the road.
Well, Barbara Tepa-Lupak, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to meeting you this Saturday at 2 o'clock at Cinemopolis. You are going to be introducing the film and then leading a question and answer discussion afterwards. So thank you so much.
I am. Thank you so much. And again, I thank you, and I thank the City of Ithaca for this invitation to be part of the celebration of Silent Movie Month. And again, I applaud your incredible talent and the incredible resources of your community.
Thank you, Barbara.